When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Aaron Sagers, and this is Talking Strange.
Hey there, spooky nerds, and welcome to Talking Strange, the paranormal pop culture show. I am your host, as always, journalist, author, researcher of weird things, Aaron Sagers. You can also catch me on 28 Days Haunted on Netflix and Paranormal Caught on Camera on Travel Channel and the Max streaming service, and our seventh season premieres on April 21st, finally happening, so keep an eye out for that. Now, today we are talking about paranormal, but also some sci-fi, because we're talking about alien conquests. To be specific, we're talking about an alien who seeks to make a conquest of another planet, and in the short film Conquest, a would-be alien baddie named Dreadlord is looking for a planet to conquer when he accidentally finds himself in the midst of Northern FanCon, the Comic-Con and pop culture event in Prince George, British Columbia, Canada, which is happening on May 3rd to 5th, 2024. It is a real thing, as well as the setting for this short film, Conquest. And hey, I'll be there as well, so I'm looking forward to that. And to talk about Conquest and all things Northern FanCon, I am joined today by Norm Coyne, who is the founding partner of Northern FanCon. Hey, Norm, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Looking forward to having you out in Prince George for the amazing Northern FanCon.
I am so excited about it. I mean, I have some friends in the form of Ming Chen who has joined me on Talking Strange, and Ivy Doomkitty and Mark Bernardin, and they've all spoken very highly of this event. And this, as the 10th year, first off, congratulations, a decade in Northern FanCon. What would you say makes this con special, unique, different from some of the other fan events out there?
Well, the thing with Northern FanCon is it's a lot more relaxed than your regular convention. We swing well above our weight class, right? So, I mean, like, we'll see maybe 10,000 people come through the doors, but the caliber of guests that we bring in is very high for such a smaller kind of convention. And we do a lot of really, really weird kind of, I don't know what you'd call them, initiatives, you know, like, so that's actually how we kind of rounded out to Conquest, which I guess we'll talk about later, but workshops are very, very important to us. So what we do every year is we look at, like, what are people looking for and who can we actually, you know, bring in who would represent that and help them kind of build connections to build their careers in film and television or to become a better cosplayer or, you know, I mean, there, that stuff is present at other conventions. I don't think it's as distinct as it is with ours, right? Like we're very, very focused on, like, this convention, not just being an event, but being a tool of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I did not know that. And I know we had been speaking a lot over email and excited, obviously, it's taking place over May the 4th weekend. But that is a great element of a con, because so often, yeah, we have the celebrity element, which is very cool. It's exciting. But having the fans, empowering the fans and encouraging them to create and showing them how to create, a lot of times that does seem to be something that's missing from these fan events. So that's quite cool. Were you a nerd as a kid? Did you grow up in this
fandom, yeah,
or did you kind of
big time
do it? Yeah. What
big
was
time.
What was your
so
nerd?
I lived in a small town called Princeton, so it's like 2,000 people, and every single day I'd watch three movies. I would rent three movies from the video store, and I'd watch three movies every day at least. And then I was like, go to the Overweighty, which is like no longer a thing, and buy my Savage Sword of Conan and my X-Men. Spent a lot of time by myself. And I always, like, when I Remember years ago when I caught wind of Comic-Cons, like that was a thing. I was like, oh my God, I'd always wanted to go to one. And flash forward to my career in my 20s or my late 20s, I got a job at a local newspaper. And what I wanted to do was steal their secrets. I wanted to do an arts and entertainment magazine. So I worked at this newspaper and I'm like putting it all together. And I was like, man, why would I go out on my own? This is a really cushy gig. I'll pitch it to them, do it under their umbrella. And then it'll have like even national kind of exposure, not just like in a single market. And so the magazine launched, it was a huge success. And they're like, what else do you have? Like, what else could you do for us? Because we won like a bunch of national awards and it was just really amazing. And I was like, well, we should be doing live events, right? And the publisher at the time was like, okay, well, let's do trade shows. And you know, I was thinking more club events because that's where my head was at. I was like, well, I want to get some DJs and it doesn't really fit with a newspaper. But some of them did. We started doing celebrity placements with those. But anyways, and I'm like looking at trade shows, and we did like a bridal show and a health show, and I was like, oh my God. Like in life, I always try and figure out a way for somebody else to pay for me to go somewhere. Right. So I'm like always trying to hustle so that I get, you know, everything paid for. And I was like, we should be looking at doing a Comic-Con more because I just always wanted to go to one. And they're like, okay, well, what's that going to look like? And so I put together the pitch and I was like, I want to do market research at Calgary Expo. Have you ever been to Calgary Expo?
No, I haven't.
So it's pretty well the biggest con in Canada, right? So
Okay.
they'll see like, you know, 120,000 plus, which is, you know, you've been to the really big machines, but for Canada, that's a massive, massive convention. And I went and I was just blown away by the spirit of it, right? I was like, I just thought it was just gonna be cool. I didn't realize that I'd have that. It's a very inclusive space, right? Like it's like everyone's welcome and anybody can be whoever they want. And it was just like amazing, overwhelming. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna bring this back. And then that was basically coming from being that nerdy little comic book kid to actually hosting a convention for the first year. And our first year was bonkers because we didn't know what we were doing. And I was just like, I'm full of hubris, right? So first year was like William Shatner, Giancarlo Esposito, Tia Carrera, Jewel State, you know, like there was a suite of like 10 guests out of the gate. And from there, it's just like, it's continued. We've got such a dedicated, loyal following. And yeah, it's kind of crazy that it's going into 10 years.
Yeah. And yeah, it's interesting from my perspective. Like, I ended up doing a lot of the stuff I've been able to do because I was a nerd, am a nerd, but I entered it through newspapers, started out as a journalist. And I'm like, well, hey, this is a way to interview heroes and talk about, write about the stuff that I love, and manage to work out. And so I love speaking to anyone that comes from the newspaper and media background. So that's very cool. And magazine background, of course. So let's speak about Conquest, because it's a short film. I don't want to give too much away, but it is about this would-be villain, Dreadlord, who is trying to find a planet to take over, and then he ends up in Canada. He ends up at Northern FanCon. How did this idea come about? And I have to say, it's a slick little film. Like, it's very professional looking. It's funny. The makeup is great on Dreadlord. Talk about how it came about, and also all of the pieces that were involved in putting this together, and how you made it look so professional.
Okay, so I hope you got a lot of time. Just
Yeah.
kidding. Okay, so I'm gonna take you back a little bit to where we started. So like basically we started the convention and we were just shooting short films for fun, right? It was just me and my buddies kind of on the weekend, you know, doing little hack and slasher films. And then, but I realized fairly quickly through the convention, I'm like, well, we have access to like real stars, real movie stars. Like maybe we should just be throwing pitches at them. We're not that great of filmmakers, but still, you know, and we were getting a little bit better here and there. And so we became a little bit more deliberate in that respect of like, you know, maybe booking some guests that we could approach about this kind of stuff. And we've befriended Denise Crosby. So for listeners who maybe don't know, it's Tasha Yar from Star Trek Next
Oh
Generation.
yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. And she was also Rachel Creed in the original Pet Sematary. We found out about this program called the Dollar Baby Program. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so Stephen King since 1977 or 79. It was right after the success of The Shining. He put together this program where he basically would offer up his unproduced content, his short stories, to emerging filmmakers for a single American dollar. And so what you get is you don't get to sell it. He still owns it, but you get the profile of the project to help build you up. You can screen it at educational institutions, at festivals, which was the true value of it, and for charitable events. And there's a huge community. It used to be every year there was one of these dollar babies. And so we'd become quite friendly with Denise. We had a connection to William B. Davis, who is the cigarette smoking man from X-Files, and another fellow named Michael Coleman, who was on a show called Once Upon a Time. And so we put together this pitch that, because that's what you had to do for the Dollar Baby program, that we would film at National Historic Sites. It was the story we chose was a Sherlock Holmes story written by Stephen King, and that we would be self-funding and all that kind of stuff. And usually it takes 6 weeks to get an answer back. Either way, we submitted on a Saturday and we had a contract on the Monday. So then we make the film and it was crazy. There was all kinds of like hiccups, twists, turns. It like actually forged us in fire. Take it out on the festival circuit. It does really well. It ends up being reported in Screen Rant as the fifth best Stephen King adaptation according to IMDb. And it did. It opened up a ton of doors for us. So then from there, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to focus more on this filmmaking element in our convention, because then I can actually bring on folks that people can learn from to build the local talent base. And then also I can connect with them, right? So maybe I can get them on some of my projects. And so what happens is I ended up getting funding through Creative BC to start doing these programs that were just workshop programs. And it wasn't until I think 2022, I think, is when we shot Conquest. Yeah, it was. And basically that year I was like, I want to level up, because I was frustrated from the pandemic too, that we lost a couple of years. And I was like, how do I make this program more? And so what I did was I'd actually developed a mentorship program that's attached to the film Conquest. So where what it was, I brought in guests like, say, Tina Teoli, who was the head of the makeup department for Flash. And I partnered her with two local makeup artists, a costume designer from The 100. And I partnered her with local costume designer. And then, I wrote the script, but I partnered myself with Mark Bernardin self-servingly, because that guy is so brilliant. He's like, and so he did notes for me. So every piece of this, you're learning from the masters, right? And I think it turned out really well. Like you say, like, I mean, it's the film looks good. And I mean, you can tell some of the stuff. I mean, one of the guys that worked on it was Evil Ted. Do you know Evil Ted?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so he did props for the Fifth Element.
Okay.
So he built a gun and a helmet for us, right? So like I just look at it and there's like all these little pieces where I'm like, man, this is actually pretty wicked. And it's we took it out on the circuit. It premiered at Fantasia, which was amazing. And ever since we've got like ping, ping, ping. It's screening everywhere. Now we're with the Geek Fest guys. So that's like almost like a secondary run, because it's like a block of conventions, right?
Right. So with this and the mentorship program, it sounds incredible. So this is continuing again this year at Northern FanCon.
Yeah, so we are doing something a little bit different, because it's funny, when we filmed Conquest, it was a bit invasive, right? So I mean, like we learn as we go. We're building the plane as we're flying it. But our DOP loves Atmos. Like he likes to just like he filled the arena with smoke at one point, right? For just a couple of small shots, and people like the vendors were getting irritated. So we are doing the same program again, and it is another convention story, but it's going to be filmed in a way that like we're not going to have to be going straight through the booths and everything like that to disrupt sales, or I want to make sure that the con is good in every respect, right? So it's good for the vendors, it's good for the film, it's good for the people participating and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The film itself, like, it's a I think 5 minutes and 40 seconds, and there's conclusion, and then there's a stinger scene, and I won't reveal it, but it does suggest that perhaps there's more to the story of Dreadlord. Is that something you'll be pursuing, or is it just it's out there sometime in the future?
No, actually, like I just got funding support from the Rogers Indigenous Filmmakers Fund to adapt Conquest into a feature film. So I'm working on that right now. And
Congrats.
it yeah, thank you. What's great is like because we've been doing the convention for 10 years, I'm looking back and I'm like, okay, who could I actually call a favor in from for this to make sure that this feature-length version of the short is stacked, with, familiar faces or, a particular level of talent in costume or whatever, right? So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Well, and with this kind of thing, I remember years ago, Mark Hamill, I think it was Comic Con the movie. Then it was set in a comic convention. It was at San Diego Comic Con, but it involved him and other people as versions of themselves, if I recall correctly. But the trick with it is, like, you still need a solid story, and it can't just be all cameo driven. So with this, as you develop this as a feature film, are you going to flesh out sort of the origin story of Dreadlord? Is there going to be a bigger world we're going to learn about through him or about him?
Totally, all that. So when we do our shorts, every time we shoot a short, we do it as a proof of concept, right? So that's all that this film was basically a bite-sized piece of like, what we're gonna pull the taffy and it's yeah, we're gonna get into, where he came from, how did he get into conquering in the first place? Where like we're gonna flesh out kind of the relationship between him and Battle Smash, who's another character. There's a little bit more of like a love angle, all of it. And I'm actually infusing it with some traditional teachings as well. So like there's gonna be it's gonna be a lot different than what people expect. So
I know Ming Chen is in it. We see a cameo of Ming. Will he be coming back in a bigger role?
yeah, so it's funny because I was like, Ming, you know what? I was like, you're in this again for sure. And he's like, yeah, I'm totally in. I'm like, we're gonna give you words this time or some dialogue this time because we didn't. And then he got his SAG-AFTRA card, and I was like, ah, shit, that's gonna cost me a lot more money. No, just kidding. No, yeah. So he's coming back. Mark Meer, who is our Dreadlord, like we'll do whatever it takes to keep him in that spot. And for folks maybe that don't know who Mark is, he's Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect video game series, and he is like one of the most amazing kind of character actors I've ever met. He's so animated and he's so perfect for that role too, like just so good.
Yeah, and obviously his voice really gets to play in
Oh
this
yeah.
role, going from evil to sort of the nerdy Phil version of Lord, I guess. As far as Prince George goes, since I've not been there before, and I know, there is such a strong indigenous culture there and rich with folklore. Any kind of stories, legends, folklore that you would care to share about the area, as the spooky guy coming into town, anything I should know about?
Well, I mean, you should know about Barkerville. If you haven't heard of Barkerville, have you heard of Barkerville?
I don't think so.
So Barkerville is a historic gold rush town, fully maintained since the 1800s. So we shot part of our Stephen King film there, The Doctor's Case, is what it's called. But we also shot a pilot right before the pandemic. We shot a pilot for a paranormal series with Leanna Vamp
Oh, yeah.
and Mark Meer.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be haunted by multiple ghosts, right? And we actually had some really crazy stuff happen during filming. Like we were filming in the park or at Park Royal Theater or the Royal Theater, I can't remember what it's called. Like we're just filming and all of a sudden the alarms start going off, like just out of nowhere. Just like the alarm just starts going off and people were like freaking out. And you know, like some folks who feel like they're a little bit more spiritually in tune were like, no, this isn't good. Let's get out of here, kind of thing, right? So I would say that if you have the time, that is definitely something you want to check out. And there's like there was a hanging hill where they would actually hang criminals and stuff like that too.
Yeah, I'll have to reach out to Vamp and ask her about that. It's so the there's what I love about it is what I have read about the area, some of the kind of the more urban legendy type stuff is I was looking it up and there's some people say there's a bottomless pit on the side of a in a lake on, off of a bridge, I guess. I forget the name of it. And so I was looking into some of those and you come up with some pretty wild ones. I'll have to do some more research, but I'll look into this one as well. How far away is it outside of town where we'll be?
It's tricky. I think it's probably about 2.5 hours. It's
Oh,
like
wow.
drive into the mountains. But like honestly, for a guy like you want to check it out.
Yeah.
Like it's full of stories and it's like a really interesting place because the when the park's open, it's a national heritage attraction. There's interpreters who are dressed in period costume, like acting like there's the what do they call that guy? The blacksmith,
Blacksmith, yeah.
right? There's like the baker, there's like old Chinatown like stuff. And these people are all in period costumes playing people who actually lived there like 200 years ago or whatever it is, or 100 and some odd years ago. So it's like a really, really trippy place just in general. But then if you start talking to these guys about like their experiences, like everybody's got a ghost story there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there's theories that by constantly reenacting, you're essentially triggering the activity there. You're kind of keeping it going. And
Oh, okay.
yeah, so that's an interesting element to it. So yeah, I'll definitely try to check that one out. And I guess just as far as the event itself, well, I'm always curious about what's been since you've been doing this event, what's been sort of your nerdy moment, your of whether it's meeting a celebrity
Oh,
or that kind of that thing where you're like, all right, this has been a pretty cool ride so far.
I think that the first, there's a couple, right? Like, the first year, we had no idea what we were doing, like, no idea. And so we just fumbled our way through, but it was still awesome. And it was really well attended. Everybody loved it. And for the most part, people don't see behind, you know, the curtain, anyways. But it was like also like super trippy because, like, we do these parties that are for kind of for the sponsors and dignitaries and people who supported the event on kind of a higher scale. And we invite all the celebrity guests. And it was so trippy because I'm sitting there and I do a shot with the Old Spice guy, Isaiah Mustafa. And he's like, check that out. And it's Giancarlo Esposito breakdancing with Tia Carrera. And I'm like, and this is in Prince George. Like, nobody here has even heard of where Prince George even is. And so it was like super, super trippy. And then as far as kind of for me, kind of personal moments, like I'm a big fan of Fat Man Beyond and a huge fan of Mark's. I think Mark is just like a brilliant human being. But I actually, in 2018, we actually brought Fat Man Beyond to the show. So we did a live recording of it. Right. We do like a recording of Black Man Beyond every time, but this was the one where Kevin was actually able to make it. And it was a trip, man. It was like just super cool to like experience that.
Yeah,
Right. But
that's really cool. It's something that I've always loved about it, doing the Comic Cons, doing these pop culture events, is that, yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that this is part of my job, but you have these moments where I almost want to travel back in time to 10-year-old me, like nerdy me, and be like, hey, all of this stuff that seems weird right now, and maybe some people think it's weird, like, hang on, because this is gonna be worth it. This is gonna be a cool ride for you. So that definitely sounds like one of those moments. I'm really looking forward to it. Well, okay, so we know Northern Fan Con is happening just around the corner on May 3rd to 5th. And how else can people keep track of you, keep track of Conquest, and the other work that you've got going on?
I mean, I'm on all over the socials. So, I mean, the easiest way to find me is just to Google Norm Coyne. That's Coyne. but fancon.ca is where there's information on the convention itself. You know, like we usually keep it up to date too with, you know, the stuff we've got going on. And we also just, the group just also launched a second convention in on Vancouver Island that we were at just yesterday. So, you know, as that expands too, there's other stuff that'll kind of come into play and, you know, just gets bigger and better and all that kind of stuff.
Right on. And to keep track of all things related to Conquest, what about that? How can people follow that?
You know, it's probably easiest just to follow me because I'm like, there's we don't do a good job of keeping our Barker Street Cinema webpage up to date. It's tragic. It's tragic.
Okay. All right. So everybody follow Norm out there. Keep an eye on all things Conquest. And I certainly look forward to hearing more about the story of the alien Dread Lord. I enjoyed it. And can people go online and watch Conquest right now? Or
not yet. No.
Not yet.
No, because we're still on our festival run, right? So which kind of almost became almost 2 years, I think, because we got signed on with the Geek Fest guys, which it's basically one film festival, but it happens at multiple different conventions.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because now that seems like a sweet spot for us. And it makes sense, right? Like conventions who have festivals are tripping over themselves to screen it.
Great. Well, so for anyone out there, as you hit up your local Comic-Cons, your regional pop culture events, if they're doing a Geek Fest film festival, check it out and look for Conquest there and let people know that you saw it and that you liked it. Let Norm know. Follow him on social media. All right, Norm. Well, my guest is Norm Coyne. The event is Northern FanCon. It's happening May 3rd to 5th in Prince George, British Columbia, Canada, 2024. And I am Aaron Sagers, and I shall be for the foreseeable future. This has been Talking Strange. And remember, till next time, be kind, stay spooky, and keep it weird.
Talking Strange is a part of the Den of Geek Network, available wherever you listen to other podcasts. If you like what we're doing, share Talking Strange with your friends and fellow spooky nerds. And please subscribe, rate, and leave a nice review. If you have a strange or paranormal story you would like to share with us, please email talkingstrange@denofgeek.com for a chance to have it read on a future episode. For video episodes of Talking Strange, check out twitch.tv/denofgeektv and youtube.com/denofgeekus. And please follow @talkstrangepod on Twitter and @AaronSagers on Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon for more paranormal pop culture content.